I think that's a particular psalm of encouragement to a number here, Psalm 73, when the psalm of Asaph, when he was really like, there was so much injustice going on around him. And he was like, it is not fair. Why is it that the wicked prosper and everything goes right for them? They seem to get blessed, and yet I'm walking righteously and I ain't seeing half of that. And every day I'm waking up with pain, it says, and it just feels an uphill struggle. And he is so annoyed. And he is like a bear. He says to God, he says, God, it must feel like that I come to you and I'm like a senseless animal to you. Do you ever have those times with God? I hope you do, because it's really important to have a real relationship with God. And the Psalms are full of people who had real relationships with God. And he's wrestling with this. And then he said, but then I went into the sanctuary of God. And the problem is that so often we don't go into the sanctuary of God. We go to the next meme. We go to our phones and just look at the news feeds. We just go and look at everything else. We go and gossip with someone else. And we don't. The last things on our mind is to actually go into the presence of God, to go and have a conversation with God. Say, do I go to a temple to that? Do I go to a church to that? No, you can meet with God right where you are, in your bedroom, in your car, going for a walk at lunchtime. And if you happen to do lunch breaks, then, you know, if that's a thing, then, you know, find space with God in a lunch break, or you know, stop the vacuuming and sit down and have a cup of tea. Meet with God when you're vacuuming. Talk with God when you're doing the washing up or packing the dishwasher. There's so many spaces and ways that we can connect, right? And for David, it's like, some of Asaph goes, I went into the sanctuary of God. And as I connected with God over the matter, as I was real with God about how I was feeling and how I was thinking and how I was seeing things, I then began to get the perspective of God. And sometimes what we need in our circumstances is not a change of circumstances, it's a change of perspective. And God has got changes of perspectives to bring us in the middle of our circumstances that will. And for him, it came back to two things. Firstly, that God is good. And I've got to keep on believing on the goodness of God, even through what I'm going through. And then he had this revelation. Do you know what? Yeah, all these people might be making incredible wealth and everything, and their yachts and everything, and their lives are just amazing, but they're deeply wicked. But he said, do you know what, for me, my life belongs to God. That is where my anchor is. I belong to God. And then he goes on to say verse 23, Psalm 73. Yes, I still belong to you. Even though I've been a right grotchety so-and-so towards you, God, I still belong to you. You've still got a conversation that you're willing to have with me. I belong to you. And some of us need to know this year, I belong to God. And that is my anchor point. Secondly, it says that you hold my right hand. And do you know what? Even through your darkest moment, even through that, give God your pain. I was talking to a friend over Christmas, and he was saying, Tim, do you know who's someone who has walked through addiction and is helping others through addiction? And he was like, Tim, do you know what? The root behind addictions is one pain. That's why people, you know, that's why we can get into drugs, drink, sex, whatever it can be that we try and fill ourselves with. We're doing it because there's a pain and because we feel isolated. But do you know what the Christian hope is? The hope in Christ, the hope of Jesus is, do you know what? You're not alone. I am with you. And that's good for all of us. Whether we feel we're quite sorted or we're in a process of being sorted, we need to know going into 2020 that we don't walk alone. God loves you, and you can feel and know God's love on a daily basis. And he's saying, do you know what? I am for you. I am for you. That's what your Heavenly Dad's saying to us today, to you today. And secondly, we can give God so we don't have to be isolated. And secondly, we can give God our pain. And do you know what? I feel that this year, God is going to be healing your pain, touching your pain. As you talk with people that you need to talk to people about, as we talk and bring that pain to God, as we're real with God about our pain, God wants to come and heal that. Jesus died at that cross. He took on the ultimate pain to exchange that pain for his peace to give to you and healing and restoration. And do you know what? That's what Father wants to do. And Lord, we ask you to do it. And then out of that, he says, God, you will guide me with your counsel. And do you know what? God's got counsel for you this year and for me. And I want to encourage us this year, let's be open to hearing God's voice. And that is maybe your next step in maturity with God, is learning how to hear his voice. Because I tell you what, when you begin to develop our own relationships with God, we become disciples. And then we go, Lord, what are you saying? Okay, I'm going to go and act on that. I'm going to do that. And that is when your Christian life becomes really exciting. And we want to be open this year for God to use us in the gifts that he's given us. And we just feel as a church that when I say church, I don't mean a building with a steeple. When Jesus talks about church, he talks about the people that make up the church. That's why we meet in a school hall. It's where we can meet in a nightclub. We can meet wherever. The church is the people, and we are God's people. And the Bible says that we're then built together as like a temple. We're like a living temple and living temples where God lives within us, right? And he wants to fill us. And each of us is gifted with a unique personality. You have got a gift set and a gift mix, which is absolutely the way God's designed you to be. And that looks different to me. I look different to you. But do you know what? When it all comes together, it begins to make a really powerful sound and to create momentum and to create difference. And we need to be led into God's counsel. And Lord, what are you saying to me this year? What are you saying about myself? Lord, what do you want me to be doing? How do you want me to be serving? Like, you know, and it could be you're walking down the road and God just says, he gives you something for someone, or there's a crisis at work and no one can solve it. And you're like, Holy Spirit, what? You are the creative spirit. You designed the universe. Surely you can fix this organizational tension here at work. Right, Lord, what is it? And you need to take the Holy Spirit with you to work, right? He's not just an addition. You have to. He goes with you because he's living on the inside of you, right? And so we want to flow with God through the whole of our lives. And the psalmist said, God, you counsel me. That still small voice. You know, sometimes it's like, Tim, don't say anything. Just shut up. You know, and that's God's wisdom for me in the moment. Don't use that. Use that. You know, and that could be the counsel of God for you in the situation. And, you know, and you say, well, maybe that's just my own conscience. Well, I think sometimes the borderline between what's my conscience and what's God's voice is, you know, it's all mingled, right? And but God speaks to us in the stillness of our heart. And through the scripture, and you're reading the Bible, and you think, that's for me. And so perhaps less news feeds this year and more reading what God's counsel to us through the scripture would be part of our steps forward, which would be great. And then he goes on to say, leading me, because God, you are leading me to a glorious destiny. Do you know what? There's a good outcome. There is a good outcome to come. And I just wonder whether that was one of the scriptures that gave Paul the confidence to write in Romans 8, for we are assured that all things will work together for the good of those that are called and loved by God. And I want to encourage you today to believe that God has got a good outcome. And as we trust him, as we give to him those complexities, that God will bring and speak to us through that. And he has got a good destiny and good outcomes. And whom have I in heaven but you? God, I'm thinking about all these other stuff, all these other people. But God, when it comes down to, who have I got in heaven? God, I've got you. And verse 26 says, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. And boy, you know, I was just, you know, just thinking about coming back from, you know, the Christmas break, and I was like, oh God, there's just so much to do. There's just so many things I just feel we want to do better. We want to change. I'm feeling really daunted. And it was that first day back at the office. It always come out feeling, oh, you know. But do you know what? Just that verse has been feeding me this week, saying, come on, Tim, I'm the strength of your heart. I'm the strength of your heart. Put your trust back in me. Come on, we can do this. We're going to go. And so God is the strength of our hearts as we come into this new year. And I just want to share that with you this morning as an encouragement. Does that resonate with anyone here in the room? A little odd wave of the hand. Father, we just want to thank you, God, that you have called us as part of your family, Lord. And I want to thank you, God, for just each, we give you just each context that's related to how we're looking at this psalm right now. And we want to thank you, God, that you are the strength of our hearts. Lord, would you just come right now and just be filling with strength just those little enlightenments of counsel that are needed. God, we give you our pain. Lord, we give you our unresolved circumstances. And we look to you. We trust you this year. We trust you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be encouraged. And what's amazing is we've got that psalm with us all week. It's on your phone. It's in the good book. And we can just meditate on that over this week and be encouraged as we go. We're excited about coming. Well, I'm interested about coming into a new decade. If you've got your Bibles, just go to Isaiah chapter 58. And I linked to it just thinking about the counsel of God, actually, and thinking about, yeah, where does it say in other places that we're guided by God and listening to his voice and his wisdom for us, and was led to Isaiah 58, which is this prophecy, that a challenge really from Isaiah to the kind of people of Israel back those hundreds and thousands of years ago that were kind of quite corrupt, and they were using religion for their own ends and not really treating people well. And God had kind of had enough of it, and he said, look guys, stop abusing people through your position, your power, and your religion. And I want you to come back to true religion, which is an honest relationship with God. And in verse 10, this was God's heart cry to Israel. He said, feed the hungry, help those in trouble, then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities, and you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. One of the things I love about coming into relationship with God is that you discover that God is a restoring God. And he wants to restore back stuff that's been ruined by, you know, sin, by what other people have done to us and circumstances we've been through. And God's got this sneaky habit of just rebuilding, replenishing, restoring back to how things should have been. And that is just one of the amazing things that God does. But I was drawn to this, thinking about the last couple of decades. Part of my role, I'm 50% serving you as a church and part of HCC and the pastor here. But the other part of my life I support churches around East Anglia, and supporting churches are part of the Ignite Network, which we're a part of, particularly helping churches in market towns, rural communities, smaller locations, discover their contribution to their communities, and how do you work with some limited resources. And we're seeing some great stuff over into Ipswich, into Newmarket, up into the Fens, Royston, and over this year I'll be sharing some stories with you about what's going on around the network. But one of the things I do is have perspective on what's happening with the church more broadly. And one of the things that happened about 20 years ago, there was no national conference called by the Evangelical Alliance or the Church of England that gathered all vicars and pastors and ministers together back in 2000, the year 2000, said, new strategy, everyone, go and serve your communities. Go and love your communities. But over the last 20 years, quite spontaneously, quite organically, and from underneath up, the church and Christians in their communities have begun to come out of their ghetto. And you need to remember where we've come from as Christians. I was brought up thinking that I needed to stay safe in God's church because I would get contaminated by the world. And the world was a place that I could get contaminated and would drag me away from God. And so I needed to stay in the conclave of God's church and needed to be separate. And we must be, not of the world. And so I never used to go to discos. I never did any of that stuff. Because I was kind of a fear in me of like, if I go into those places, if I engage in our community, I might get contaminated. What a lie. Do you not know that greater is he that's on the inside of you than that's in the world? And over the last 20 years, God started doing something to me, saying, do you know what? The world's more likely to get contaminated by you than you're more likely to get contaminated by the world. You need to begin to believe. You see, when Jesus was healing the lepers, it was the leprosy that was going to get healed, not Jesus was going to get leprosy. And Jesus had a mentality of the kingdom that he was going to be an influencer and could go into those places and could love the last, the least, and the lost, and the most grubby, and the most cast off, and he would not be affected by them, but the glory of the kingdom would be affecting them. Go! And I'd lost this thing that the church had been sent to go. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go into all the world. Yes, you will feel like a lamb among wolves, but so what? I'm sending you. Yes, you'll get eaten. Yes, you'll get snarled around. Yes, you'll get beaten up. But I want you to go and to demonstrate the love and the goodness and the holiness and the majesty of the kingdom. And so over the last 20 years, we've seen across particularly this country that the church quietly began to go. It began to care. In the year 2000, I think one of the leading lights on this was Soul Survivor, when Mike Bulavarci and some of his gangs, who's now an MBE, which has been lovely that he's been honoured in that way, and they started something called, what did they call it? Soul in the City. It was, yes, but and they encouraged us to go and clear up people's gardens. And so I remember at our church in Cambridge, we were a bunch of students. We were like, oh yeah, let's go. What should we go? Let's buy some spades. And we found some people had some money, and we went and bought spades and shovels and forks. We had never been in garden. We'd never done gardening before, but oh my goodness, did we want to transform your garden? And so we went into our housing estate, and we started loving the housing estate, starting digging people's gardens, clearing out the rubbish. We had one older gentleman in our church who had a car, he had a trailer, said, bring a trailer, we're going to put all the rubbish in people's gardens on the trailer. And like John would drive it off to the tip, and somehow they allowed us to tip it at the tip, and we began to love our community and to care. And the church has begun to care, and I think washed the feet of our nation over the last 20 years. And it's not a month that goes by that on the national television you will not see a reference or a politician popping up within the food bank. Because, and where do those food banks come from? The church. Because there's a phenomenal movement of individuals who are not in it as a career, who are not in it for the money, who are in it to care, who have decided to get out beyond their hymn books, to shuffle out of the pews, and to begin to engage with the pain and the challenge of our country, and have begun to practically do something different with it. And we've been doing this for 20 years, and it is so exciting to see the favour, the way that the local authorities now think about the church is totally different. In some of the locations I'm working in, Cambridge and other places, members of the of community development, council community development, talk so highly about the local church and say, we could not do what we do without the local church. 20 years ago, that was not what was being said in our country. Now, I'm not saying that the church isn't being persecuted and for values and things that are, they're not being contested. That's all in the mix as well. But the church, I believe, has been serving and washing the feet of this nation over this last 20 years. And just as I was just mulling on this, I felt the Holy Spirit say, there is a switch coming. There is the tables are beginning to turn. The tide is beginning to turn. The tables are beginning to tip in the favor of, it says, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. That's what the church has been doing over the last 20 years here in this country, in their communities. But then it says, then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. And I just felt God just saying, church nationally, begin to know and perceive that there's a tipping point coming to that love, to that help, to that serving, that there's a transformation that we have not yet seen that's going to begin to change communities, that climates and atmospheres around places are beginning to change, that the light is that there's a light that's going to shine out of you. That's not our good works. That's not us. That's God's heart. That's God's light is going to begin to shine out from churches across this nation, from individuals that are going to care, to serve, to meet with individuals, to look after, to strategize for how we can see change in our communities. And out of that, the light will shine, that hope will come, there'll be tipping points. And I believe we're coming to a time when people are going to come to faith in droves that we've never seen before. And I dare to prophesy that and say we need to be ready for God to move in our communities in ways that we've never seen. And that places that have felt really dark, the Bible says, are going to begin to see a change where actually what felt dark, actually I can walk up that street feeling like I don't have to watch my back. Because do you know what? Things have changed. People used to throw beer bottles around here, but now they don't, because God's changing hearts. Young people are getting saved. They're changing. And do you know what? Communities change when one life begins to change. And God cares about individuals, and atmospheres can change. And so there was a really interesting tipping point as well in Jesus' ministry. And this is what we're going to share for the last 10 minutes, and then we're going to pray. Because if you go to Mark chapter 6, there was a switching point in Jesus' ministry. And this is just checking in on the series that we're in through Mark's gospel, which we're going to be continuing to study and follow through to Easter. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's the next one. Matthew, Mark. Oh, I need to go backwards then. Mark chapter 6. And do you remember there was this point when Jesus went from the village, and basically Jesus was going, he'd been rejected in Nazareth, and we looked at that just before Christmas. But then Jesus wasn't deterred. You know, nothing like a comeback from a setback. Jesus was not going to take a setback. He was like, I'm coming back. And what did he go and do? And verse 6 and 7, it says, then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people. And there was like a quickening of pace. It's like, why Jesus don't need to settle in one place? But there was a quickening of an expectation of, I've got to get the news of the kingdom out through the whole of this region. And he went on a campaign with their donkeys from village to village, teaching people about the kingdom. And there was an increase of energy around this, because this was now, I think, getting halfway through his ministry, and things were beginning to look towards Jerusalem, beginning to look towards his ultimate climactic crucifixion and resurrection. And the time when the pace was picking up, when he needed to advance the message. And of course, Mark is always full of energy through this gospel. But he said, we went from village to village. And then in verse 7, there's this beautiful time when Jesus can go so far himself with him and his one donkey. But there were so many more villages he wanted to reach beyond what he could. And then he said, he called his disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. And he told them to take nothing for them for the journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bags, no money. But he allowed them, he was so generous, he allowed them to wear sandals. That's great, isn't it? But not a change of clothes. Now, I'll come back to that in a minute. But he sent them out. And I love this scene where Jesus is on this mission, high activity, but then he's like, do you know what? I can't do this on my own. In fact, I was never designed to do this on my own. And there was a beautiful scene where, you can just imagine it, Jesus got in the center, and he said, hey, he said, Gene, come here. So Gene, you come here. And then he goes, oh, no, Amy, you come here. Oh, let's, oh, yeah. Oh, Loretta, you come here. Really embarrassed people. I said, oh, Mike, you come here. Come here, let's draw around. Marta, you come as well. Come around. Keith, we come. And it's like he called his disciples. Sue, let's have you. And they all gathered around. He got them all around. Like, you don't look very friendly together. Let's just huddle in. These were disciples. They knew, come on. And they were like huddling around. And they all gathered around Jesus. And Jesus goes, do you know what, guys? You've seen what I've been doing over the last year and a half. You know all those miracles, all this stuff. And you've loved it. You've seen it. Do you know what, guys? You're now going to do that stuff. And Mike goes, you what? I'm like, yeah, you're going to go out. And so Mike and Marty, see that village over there? I want you to go there. And I want you to pitch. I want you to find someone to go and eat with them. And I want you just to start praying for them and just start meeting their needs. And then I want you to tell them about the kingdom. You know the stuff I've been talking about? I want you to go and do it. Yeah? Are you up for that? And by the way, just that all that wardrobe, all those like suitcases you've got, forget that. Just take that stick, and when you go, you're going to trust me, and I'm going to provide for you as you go. But do you know what? I want you, all that evil stuff that we see, all that sickness we see, all those bondages. Do you know what? Can you just mop that up in that village? And Loretta, Sue, could you go to that village over there? Gene, Keith, could you go to that village over there? Right, I'm just now, Holy Spirit is kind of fill these guys, and as they go, would they go and see the things I do? Now may you go, guys. And he sent them off. Thank you. Round of applause to our guys. And he sent them off as I want you to go. And the stuff that the evil that you see, I want you to address it. I want you to combat it. I want you to cast out. I want you to be that difference. I want you to be that light to that village. And he sent them out. Now, I don't know how you would feel. I would feel really inequipped. I'd feel really underprepared. I would feel that the boss hasn't really resourced me for what he's asked me to do. But on that very thin thread, Jesus was happy to send them out. And I love that picture of how they gathered around Jesus. And as a church, there's a genuine thing. God, we want to be God-centered. And we want to be like gathered around you and like being sent out by you, and the sense of like God in our mix, that we're not prophet-centered or program-centered or tradition-centered. God, we want to be you now living-centered in our own lives, but as a church. And the sense of being gathered around. And I just feel like this year, you know, some of you have been saying, Tim, why are you running around, like, moving those tables? Like, why are you doing that? And I thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for some of the feedback that you've given me. I've just recently had a 360, my annual review, and I really want to say thank you to some of the feedback you've given me. And one of the things that came out was that sometimes I just talk to you because I need you to do something, and sometimes I'm just too busy doing that I don't have time for people. And this year, I just felt God just saying, Tim, I want you to change that. And so you might notice the other day, we didn't have some of our amazing signs up. Because normally I'll be the one that say, come on, guys, we forgot to put those up. Can we put it up? But do you know, so I said, no, I'm going to go to the prayer room. Do you know what? We will survive a Sunday if we don't have all our banners up beautifully. But I don't want to miss a day when I'm not connecting with you in the prayer room before the meeting. And I, this year, want to be about just connecting with God and having time to connect with you guys. And one of the big gifts that God's given me is of that of encouragement and encouraging people. And if I'm so busy doing lots of like practical stuff, I don't have time to think about encouraging people because I'm encouraging this looking great. And so what I'm going to be doing, I'm asking some of you guys to help me connect with God and connect with you relationally by helping me, by taking some of the practical things off that I end up having to do or needing to do because I kind of see the bigger picture. And I need to release a number of you to be able to do all that stuff in a way that releases me to be the stuff that I know God wants me to be and what you feel you need me to be to you. And so I'm excited about one or two changes there. The other thing is that we're a great team as a church. And one of the things in that little sketch there that we see from Jesus is that he really believed in his disciples and that they could be as anointed as him.
Ooh, did you just say that?
Jesus is the anointed one. And let's not get that wrong. But do you know what? The same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus lives in you and in me. And do you know what? In the giftings that God has given you, you can go far beyond what I'm able to do because you are wired in a way that can bring something that is what God needs in this body that I'm not designed to bring. And so when we were smaller as a church, perhaps around about 40 adults, I could see a lot of time with lots of you, but The rather embarrassing thing over the last couple of years is that 2018, we grew by 26%. Last year, we grew by 13% adults. I think we saw a slowdown because we stayed in our venue, but I think we're going to see new growth this year. But the embarrassing thing is that I can't know all of you in the way that I'd love to. I just physically can't. I needed to remember a minister's name this week in the town, and I was sending an email, I was like, I cannot, I got the guy's face in my head, but I do not remember his name. And I'm like, God, I've got so many things in my head, I have so many people I'm trying to relate to. And I had to go to the internet to find out my friend's name. I'm like, God, what's going on? You almost is getting to that point where you're so like full on that you're flushing the toilet before you finished. Have you ever done that before? And so, you know, God's just saying, pace it down, Tim. And we need to release one another to be the body, that just because you may not be getting the full attention from me, do you know what? I've got an amazing pastoral team and we are growing and we are growing our pastoral side as a church. And just right now, I just want to honor, Jean, can you stand up? Debbie, can you stand up? Paul, can you stand up? Where's Mary? Is she out with the children? Oh, that's cool. Trevor, can you stand up as well? And these are just some, there's so much pastoring that goes, and also our small group leaders. So Karen, would you be willing to stand as well? Thank you. that between us as a body, we have got some amazing people that care deeply for each and every one of us. And Jean just gives so much of her heart and her life to love and care for us. Debbie, I walk into Weatherspoons, and I, you know, Debbie's there having lunch with someone in the church. It's like, how are you doing? Just praying for people. Trevor walks and carries so many of us, and you know, and gives wisdom, and is there in the office as a contact point. Karen, just her and what Paul serve into the Creative English, but through their small group and our small group structures. Paul and Mary serve on our pastoral team as well, and so and our staff team with Anya, with Richard. We're here as a whole team, and these guys are probably even better at listening to you than even I am. And these guys are amazing, and the anointing and grace of God sits on them as much as on me to sit down for counsel and to support and help walk us through. Now, that's not to say that I won't speak to you and we won't spend time together. We will, but we're a team in this. And indeed, thank you, guys. Thank you. But indeed, you could tell me a list of 3 or 4 people that you are deeply caring about, connected with through WhatsApp or through your small group that you care for as well. And I think what the switching point for us is this. Jesus recognized that he couldn't reach that whole region on his own, but he had to do it through team. He had to do it through church. And he had a high opinion, a high value on every single one of his disciples. He was confident that when Mike and Sue or Marta went into that village, that they would be representing Jesus. They were representatives of the kingdom. That they had the heart of God, the love of God. That they were as much anointed as Jesus to go and be brings. In fact, so much so that when they all came back to feedback and report back, and I think feedback and report back is very important in the life of the church, that they came back to Jesus, did you know, we prayed for the sick and they were healed and people got set free. And I want to say there's an anointing coming on a number of you that you are going to be seeing miracles through your life and people set free this year in phenomenal ways. And it isn't just going to come through the pastor, it's going to come through you, because it's Jesus that sets people free. And so they came back to Jesus and said, isn't it amazing? All these things are happening. And Jesus, isn't it? That's so good. Great, boys and girls. You are doing the business. But do you know what? Let's not forget to celebrate that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we are part of God's family. And I just love that. And Jesus was like, let's go and take some time out and go and chill. And there's just that deep sense of relational connection they had with Jesus on this journey of transforming lives and reaching their communities. And that's what we want to be about as a church. So this year, we're going to be doing a mini-series a bit later on this year, looking at, it's simply called Gifted. And we're going to be looking at the Ephesians 4:11 ministries that are written, that Paul writes about, have been given to the church to build the church up. And we want to see everyone in the church this year taking a little step forward in who God's made you to be a minister for God. And it isn't just me, but it's you as well. We're in this all together of seeing God move. And so on the back of your leaflets that you have had come in, and I wanted to put together just kind of a little manifesto, just a little sense of what's important for us this year as a church. And on the back, I've given a verse, which I think is a verse for us this year, which is, instead, we will speak truth in love. We're going to be honest together as a community, but being for each other as a community. And we're going to grow in every way more and more like Christ. I want us to become more and more like Jesus together as a church this year. Who is the head of the body, the church? And he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And that's what we want to be. We want to be Jesus' church, this fitting together perfectly. Each part, doesn't say the pastor, it says each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. So it's actually your connection helps someone else in the church grow. It isn't the paid professionals that are meant to do it. The whole body is helping each other grow up. And there are things that you say, do you know what? I care about HCC looking good outside. I'm going to take on someone. I care about that person who just needs a lift home after church. I'm going to drive them. I've been blessed with a car. I'm going to help someone. Do you know what I mean? Using the gifts, using the resources that God's given us, we can each help each other sing and helping each other grow in our small groups. A revelation that God might give you that week, you go and share it in small group, and that's exactly what someone else in the group needed. And it's like, oh my goodness, I needed that. That really helps me understand God in a real way for my situation or whatever it might be. So as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that amazing? And so, you know, we have the privilege of guests coming through our doors on Sundays most weeks now. And do you know what? The welcome you give can be identical, as it were, to the quality of welcome that I would give. Because we are the whole body filled with love. And we're here to extend the presence of God through what we do. So let's just stand together as we just bring this morning to a close. Oh God, Lord, I want to thank you for the gifts and the ways that you've made each one of us to be, that none of us has been made the way we are by accident. But God, we believe that you are the creator God and that you have created us to be part of your family. And this year, I simply want to pray that God, that you would just lift us as a church to be growing into more and more of your likeness. I thank you, Holy Spirit, right now for your anointing, just to be falling on individuals and each one of us in this place today. To be gifted into what you've called us into. Oh God, I want to thank you for raising us up as a church this year, as a whole body, to sing in the ways that you've made us to be. Lord, let us fit perfectly together. Lord, let us be filled with you. Let us be blessed that we can go and be a blessing to Huntingdon Shire as we set out and look forward into all that you want to do this year. In Jesus' name, amen.